Yet they believe. First thing they do, they cover themselves. Because they want to identify with Islam. They don't want to identify with the slave master. They don't want to dress like the slave master's daughters. They don't want to look like them. They don't want to look like Americans. They don't want to look like Canadians. They want to look like Muslims, so they change their dress. Yes, they do. They change their diet. They want to eat halal food. They read Quran about halal food, and so now these Muslims born in America, born in Canada, want to practice Islam. Now they say, yes, I want to be a Muslim, I want to dress like a Muslim, I want to talk like a Muslim. And so they have little masjids beginning to crop up over America. Storefronts. Not these beautiful edifices cost $1 million. They go rent a basement somewhere. Sincere. Poor but sincere, and they start a masjid. So, we gotta teach our children, we need an Islamic school. They can't afford to buy a school. So they get a little storefront somewhere. Gather their little children, put them in an Islamic school, call it an Islamic school. But that's the Islamia. Sincere. Because the same spirit of Malcolm, that when you know better, do something about it. And Allah will help you to do the rest. And then the irony. Some people, born in a Muslim country, come to America, come to Canada, and get confused. So instead of dressing, now they take off their dress. Why? Oh, by the way, brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about this audience here. Everybody is okay. I was talking about the other people. Okay. Nobody, don't worry, you're okay. But those other people, they want to come and they want to identify with the American way. They won't be American. So now they call themselves American Muslims. But they are more American than Muslim. African Americans, more American than African. And that's the problem. Malcolm was a man who whatever he had, whatever knowledge he had, he put it to use, he put it into practice. And now, brothers and sisters, tonight, I say the same thing. As I look into America and Canada, from my perspective, I see Allah the Almighty knocking down everything that people used to worship as a god. Knocking it down. I'm not so familiar with the economy of Canada, but if it's anything like what's happening in America, TWA bankrupt. Macy's bankrupt. General Motors laying off 60,000 people. Everywhere you look around, the economy being knocked down. Why? Brothers and sisters, in my opinion, Allah is showing you something. You know what? In my conclusion, and I make no apologies for this, the only hope for America and the only hope for Canada is Islam. But not just religiously. No. In every way. And brothers and sisters, if we would do our duty and follow our Messenger Muhammad ﷺ as Malcolm did, we will make a dramatic change in this society. In the New York City, and I don't know about this city, but there are a number of television programs that come on, like Salud Jesse Raphael. Do you do that here? Oprah Winfrey. Do you get that here? Phil Ballard. You know what I noticed? Can you permit me to say what I noticed? You got about 5 more minutes? It's not hot stuff right now. You got about 5 minutes? Can I? I watch these programs from time to time. I want to see what they have on. And you know what I noticed? You notice these people? These people are serious. No, they're not. It's a joke. One program on Sally Jesse Raphael, they had a woman with her husband. And this woman was a so-called goddess for this religion. Maybe you saw it. And you know what she had to do? Now, I'm sorry, sister, please, you know, close your ears if you don't want to hear it. In order to be a high priestess, she had to sleep with 2,000 men. But the funny thing about it, it was on Sally Jesse Raphael. Soon after that, I was watching a program called 9 Broadcast Channels. She was on there. Then she was on the other guy, Phil Donahue. They had on one of the shows a man came on Sally Jesse Raphael and said, "I want to be a woman." Somebody in the audience paid the money for a sex change. And he changed his sex. And he was invited back on the program. And guess what? After a few months, they came back on and said, "I made a mistake. I want to be a man again." It's true. All of this is true. And if you would categorize and mark off all of these programs, brothers and sisters, you see, they're not serious at all. They have actually men and women coming on the TV stripping. And all of that, why? Because they're not serious. Malcolm was serious. Islam is serious. And if we're going to make a difference in this society, we have to be serious. I say this to my young brothers and sisters, I see a few young brothers and sisters here. I want you to be like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's our example. But if you look at Malcolm, in many ways, Malcolm was like that. You know about Malcolm? I think one of the most striking things about him, he was courageous and bold. You know what I mean? He was bold for his belief. If any of you go to this college, I want you to represent yourself as a Muslim. Malcolm was no hypocrite. When he understood it, he practiced it. This, African Caribbean Students Association, wonderful organization. And I commend them, along with the Muslim Student Association, for putting this forum together. It's good. And there must be dialogue. The brothers and sisters, if the brothers and sisters from the African Caribbean Student Association is going to understand about Islam, then you, as Muslims, have to do your job. They can become Muslims or not become Muslims. That's not the issue. But our responsibility is to show an alternative. And the reason people don't take Islam seriously is because of some of the contradictions that they see. For instance, in New York City right now, what we're doing, 31 Muslim leaders came together, Muslim communities, in the Majesty's Shura. And you know what we're doing? We're going to every Muslim business. Every Muslim business. motivating them, inspiring them to not sell anything that's objectionable to their Creator, Allah, that's going to be for the detriment of the people, like pork. No Muslim business should sell pork. No Muslim business should sell wine or anything like that. And I would like to help to motivate the Muslims all over to get that same kind of spirit. And brothers and sisters, if we get that same kind of spirit, that was the spirit of Malcolm. He was like that. And of course, that is the spirit of Islam. And that was the spirit of our Messenger Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah bless us and guide us and help us. And we make a special prayer for Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, who we believe died a martyr, a shaheed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah bless this audience here, every one of you. I hope that every one of you tonight got something to benefit your life, or at least to put you on the road toward investigation, research about the life of Malcolm, about Islam, and about a better way for yourself and your family. Thank you very much. Assalamu alaikum. There is a microphone there for those of you who wish to ask the questions in person. We will also be passing out pieces of paper for those of you who wish to write down your questions. Right now, we will be taking a 10-minute break. There is food outside as well as other things for sale. Please do not bring any of the food into the room. And especially Mr. Farhan, for the speaker of Malcolm X.
Does this mean that Mr. Farhan holds not the spiritual belief, but if you practice true Islam, you will be able to do what you want? I think this is one of the most complicated questions you can ask. We're talking about the belief of this new thought, and I'll tell you why. When Minister Farrakhan was very familiar with Minister Malcolm X at the time, they both believed in the same ideology as Elijah Muhammad. When Malcolm made his migration and became a Sunni Muslim, Minister Farrakhan decided not to go with Malcolm and he stayed with the teaching of Elijah Muhammad. In 1975, when Elijah Muhammad died, Minister Farrakhan began to teach under the leadership of Elijah Muhammad, and that is Islam as you understand it, one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad as the messenger of Allah. He taught fasting during the month of Ramadan, Salat as you understand it, prayer as you understand it. Unfortunately, after 2.5 years, Minister Farrakhan left Imam Wahid Muhammad of the Great American Muslim Mission and started back the growing and development of the nation of Islam. When he did that, he went back to the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. To this day, Farrakhan is still teaching that God came in the person of the Master Prophet Muhammad. And these things are un-Islamic. So, in the years when the Farrakhan has gone back and forth, he is at one point he's Muslim, and then at another point he's not, he's gone back and forth. Our prayer, certainly my prayer, is that he comes all the way around. I think one of the most brilliant men in this country, given that he has the right ideology within this new Farrakhan, very articulate, very powerful, very courageous, very bold. But we pray that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he comes as Malcolm came fully, inshallah. And I want to say this, I have not given up. Anytime I go to Chicago, I call Mr. Farrakhan, I go to his house, speak with him, I speak with him on the phone, trying to convince him, because I think he's so important and so valuable to this North America, because everywhere he goes, he attracts tremendous crowds. around the office, 15,000 people. Detroit, Michigan, 20,000 people. New York City, 25,000 people. Los Angeles, 23,000 people. Anywhere we go, people come to listen to him. And if you can just teach the message of Latin, that Imam Muhammad Barakullah, it would be that much more effective. So inshallah, I've dedicated myself, inshallah, trying to help him to understand the religion better so he can be a better helper for Allah.
Okay.
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 Yeah, I think the problem with most of the American people is that they perceive Islam as just a religion. And the reason that we know Islam works is the total way of life. It was used 1400 years ago, it was successful then, and it will be successful today. The problem with the economy, the politics, and all of that, we believe that the answer lies in Islam, the key to everything in this life is the absolute obedience to Allah the Almighty, as opposed to giving our loyalty to our government, or giving our loyalty to Allah. I give you one example, brothers and sisters. For Muslims, it is basic and fundamental to believe in life after death. Just by believing in life after death, that has a tremendous impact on this life. Some people believe that if you believe in life after death, you believe in other worldliness, and all you want to do is concentrate on the life to come and forget about this life. I differ with that. It is in fact a person's belief in the hereafter and belief in the judgment of Allah the Almighty that makes them behave better for his neighbor now and has an impact on this life now, how one perceives the hereafter. So I just say, suffice it to say that Islam is not just prayer. Prayer is significant, prayer is important, helps keep our minds in the right perspective, but also there's an economic reality about Islam. For instance, economically, how many in this audience would like to get a loan of $500,000 and not have to pay any interest? If you would like that, raise your hand. Now, you know, sometimes people don't realize this, that it is against the Islamic religion, way of life, to charge people interest. Now, one of the things that we can do is we can develop non-interest banks so that we can show the economic aspect of Islam. The impact of alcohol. We believe that alcohol is destroying the economy. Drugs. People all over the world spend more money on illegal drugs than they do on food and clothing and education. So instead of spending that money on drugs and alcohol, can we better use that money in the economy for those things that are good and beneficial for the society? So brothers and sisters, also the concept of sharing the wealth, and I think our brother Otis might share some of this with us, the Islam principle of the tax. Taking some of the riches, some of it, a percentage of it, 2.5% of the excess of a wealthy person's wealth and redistribute it among the poor people. And brothers and sisters, you see that Islam is a total way of life, not just spiritual, not just religious.
Can we have the next question? Okay.
I'm going to go to the next one.
Well, I really appreciate the question, and thank you very much. 1959, when I first became Muslim, you know, I always had a very good relationship with my parents. It wasn't until I became a Muslim that I had the first argument with my parents. And I remember one day, we were sitting in the kitchen, it was a Sunday morning, my mother had just fixed dinner. And, you know, on Sunday, we had a tradition to make a big dinner. And, I just accepted it well. You know what he cooked? He cooked a pork. And my father, actually my stepfather, my last father died, and my stepfather, I love him so much. You know, big man, you feel bad. And I said to them, you know, in my heritage, I'm a 19-year-old, you know, arrogant nature. Fool, I'm teaching this devil fool. And my father said something like, you know, you've been eating all your life. Let's just, you know, you won't even shit by the devil. And my father didn't like that. And I'm ashamed to say that, like, I stood up for this. But, you know, what you want to do? Which is bad, but I'm saying, don't do this, is what I'm saying. But what I learned from that guy, I felt very, very bad, because Islam doesn't teach that. Islam teaches humility, especially to your parents. When someone asks what Muhammad, someone of the Prophet says, are you under the Ahaba illallah? He said, which deed is most loved by Allah? And he said, As-salatu ala waqtiha, prayer on time. Summa aji, he said, then what? He said, zero ala one day. And that is dutifulness, to respect, obedience to your parents. I can say to you, but in terms of your health, believe me, there is no better way than being a good example. You say, other than being that, believe me, brother, there's nothing better than being a good example. Now, I want to differ with my brother, just a little bit older, about socialism. I think it's about Islam and the beautiful thing. You've got to understand, brothers and sisters, everything you have is from Allah. He never intended for everybody to have the same exact amount of money. He didn't do that. So Allah in the Quran, Surah Al-Mulk, 67 chapter of the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. Blessed be Him, Allah, in whose hand is the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He created death and life to test you who is best indeed, and He is forgiven, He is powerful and forgiven. Now what's the wisdom there? My poverty is a test for Suhail's richness. If Suhail is rich and Brother Siraj is poor, how will I respond to him? Will I be jealous? Will I kill him and fight him and take him away? Will he share his wealth with me? Will he be greedy? And so, brothers and sisters, when you understand how Allah created life, and you have to understand this, brothers and sisters, you'll never forget this. Everything you have comes from Allah. It comes from Allah through people, but it comes from Allah. Never forget that. He is the provider. And once you understand that, then you ask Allah and you work, because Allah from Quran, وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَسَاعَ. Man can have nothing except for what he's fighting for. And then there comes a time when the people become unjust, then you have to fight jihad, fisabilillah, to bring back justice in the land. But brothers and sisters, it is unnatural to think that everybody has to have the same amount of wealth. That's unnatural. It'll never happen. Allah didn't intend it to happen. And it won't happen until Yawm al-Qiyamah, but Allah, they also will give us according to the deeds that we did in this earth and put us in the Jannah of the paradise based on His mercy and what we did in this life.
Okay, we'll take one more question from the phone before we
go. On
With any society, be it American or even so-called Russian, wherever they be Chinese, interact without assimilation. I don't even like the word integration. We phrase that in old days, and we say, you know what I'm about. But notice this is you have to interact. You see, I was one of those people. And unless you interact, that's one thing about mountains. He was great because he always interacted with people. Anybody would speak to anybody. And this is what Muslims should do. I don't believe that we should isolate ourselves. I think we should interact with the people. But you, brothers and sisters, must be confident in yourself that you can interact with these people without thinking that these people are superior. Now, this is a problem that many Muslims have. They actually feel inferior. I don't feel inferior to nobody on this planet. Nobody. I am as good as anyone else. In fact, Allah says in the Quran, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best of people evolved for mankind because you're doing the good deeds from the evil. Now, when I start seeing Muslims get into the society and start acting like them, start doing the same things they have, same value, and Allah is destroying them. And you know the image that I've created of America. And I'm going to give it to you again. In case you didn't get it before, you're going to get it now. And then we'll turn the mic over. You ready? America is a car speeding down a steep mountain full of ice and snow with brakes that don't work, driven by a blind man, high off a drug. And so you see the Americans, see, they're blind, brothers and sisters. They are absolutely blind. And everything they do, everything they touch, they are misguided. I'm not saying to save them, but I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, as it is, they are blind. So you don't go in the car with them and let them take you down the road. You must get in your own car and show the way, show the guidance. If you're confident enough to be in the midst of these people without imitating them, without assimilating into their society, but keeping and maintaining your Islamic identity, and I should just go there and interact and give them some guidance that Allah has given to you.
He talks about as a leader man named Wallace Fudge. He was supposedly God in the form of a man. He taught Elijah Muhammad about the nation of Islam. Who was he? Why did he become Islam to see this? There are a number of reports from many people who are in the nation of Islam early following living in Detroit, 1930. There was this light-skinned man, his parents didn't have Elijah Muhammad from Mecca. Their father Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad started to say in 1934 that this man was God himself. So this is the basis of the theology of the nation of Islam. And this is the theology that Malcolm repudiated. Then we accepted the oneness of Allah the Almighty. All of that was denied. For the record, for those who don't know, Elijah Muhammad was not, is not, the messenger of Allah. He was a man who had his teaching. He did not teach Islam at all. And Islam is not what Brother Siraj thinks it is. Islam is what Allah defines in the Quran and what Prophet Muhammad describes. And the basic principle that's given in the Quran, in the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that it was accepted by Muslims. But again, brothers, I want to reiterate that we don't want to lose consciousness of what we're speaking about tonight. The purpose tonight talk about the legacy of Malcolm. The legacy that Malcolm left was Islam. Now, you know,
You hear some absurd. It is absurd. There are some, I hate to say what I'm about to say. You know, brother always talks about the back door. I needed the back door. That's what I'm about to say. They run behind me. But you know, that's an actual group, brothers and sisters, of homosexuals that are claiming Jesus. Homosexual to Jesus. This is because people, they're looking for a hero to sanction their way of life. They're looking for somebody that's great that we can say, yes, Malcolm was this and Malcolm was that, Jesus was this and Muhammad was that. Malcolm was a Muslim. Malcolm died a Muslim. Malcolm's philosophy was Islam. And this is his life. Now some people, yeah, Malcolm had a meeting with this person, and Malcolm might at one point in his life made this statement, but the overall statement that he made, Malcolm was what's the Quran. Don't die except as a Muslim. Malcolm died as a Muslim. One lesson that I've learned over my short life is that when man is left to his own devices, left alone without divine guidance, left without the Moses and Jesus and Abraham and the Davids and the Solomons, left without that, left without the divine guidance from Quran, from the Angel, the Gospel, from the Torah, from Moses, then man is going to be misguided. In whatever the course, if it's not divine guidance, you'll be misguided, for sure. And brothers and sisters, unfortunately, there's going to come a time when all of us face the reality. I thought earlier was going to say, until the day of judgment. But I say, brothers and sisters, that divine guidance, Allah exists. Not only does it exist, it gives guidance. And whether you, the nation of Israel, whatever you call yourself, if you don't have divine guidance, you're going to be misguided. It's simple as that. Islam, brothers and sisters, makes life so uncomplicated. I now, alhamdulillah, look at people as human beings. Allah doesn't take away my culture. I'm an African. I happen to be in America, but I am an African. If anything in my African culture that doesn't go against Islam, then it's fine. Allah doesn't care about the color of my clothing or the style. The thing that Allah is concerned about is, he says in Quran, when he does the taqwa, sanctify, and the dress of righteousness, that's the thing that Allah's talking about. So brothers and sisters, on the one hand, my brother who asked about Muslims fighting, this, you know, I wish you can come to Masjid al-Taqwa in Brooklyn. I wish you can see our masjid. We have over 650 people that come each week, Yom Jumu'ah, and pray together. And it's very difficult to see two people that have the same skin complexion. Every nation on the earth we have in our masjid, we have European Americans, we have Chinese, we have Africans, we have those from the Caribbean, brothers and sisters, the young and the old. And you know, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth. The relationship that we have is wonderful because we really try to practice Islam. I beg to differ with you, brother. There is no racism in Islam, but there is racism among Sunni Muslims. And when the Muslims fail to practice the Islam, when they become contaminated by the people of the jahil, ignorant society, then they bring that into the Muslim community. But I beg to differ with you, there is no racism in Islam at all. the FBI or CIA in the assassination of Antonin Scabbard.
Well, listen, I have no real evidence. Because, you know, as Muslims, we have to have our proof, our evidence. And what I'm about to tell you is only opinion and based on many philosophical blunders and conjectures. But Malcolm himself said in the last part of his life, he used to think that it was the nation of Islam that was trying to kill him. But then he said, I believe now it's totalitarianism that it goes beyond the nation of Islam. I don't think that these people are involved in killing me, but someone else. He left the FBI and the CIA. What about to talk about the COINTELPRO? Mr. Hoover, who headed the FBI, in a document that's well known, where he said that in order to stop the rise of black Messiah, who could be electrified by the masses of black people, he mentioned who it is. He mentioned Malcolm X, and he mentioned Martin Luther King. Malcolm and Martin Luther King was assassinated. I told you the day of my speech. Both of them were assassinated short of their 40th birthday, and I asked you the question, what does it mean? According to the Quran, the man reaches his full strength at the age of 40. That's not insignificant. Our message to Muhammad from those who stood as a threat to them. And so the Quran is trying to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I say to you, brothers and sisters, I want to say this to you before I go, I want you to understand it well. The same people who were around during the time of the assassination of Malcolm X are the same type of people who are around today. You may not know this, but all of the big major Islamic centers, they sent agents from the government, and they say to you, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. And they may be one of the most radical sounding Muslims in your midst. But be careful. That person may well be an agent of our reform. What do you mean? The biggest threat to the United States of America is not socialism, it's not communism. The biggest and their only threat is Islam. And well, they know it. And they are concerned that brothers like Siraj Mahal and others don't go around uniting the Muslims and helping them to become independent of everybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would watch and send agents in the masjid. They call agents provocateur. What is an agent provocateur? An agent provocateur was sent to the Nation of Islam, sent to the Black Panthers, sent to any kind of organization. Their job was to disrupt the movement, put one against the other, put one leader against another leader, put another imam against another imam, so that they're never united around them. Put mischief and trouble in the community, have them be suspicious of one another, and break down the community. Every mass should break them down by sending agents in there, and the agent's job is to break them up and at the same time try to push them towards some kind of radical move so the government now can come in and just squash that movement. Now, brothers and sisters, you beware. And you watch and you be careful. And I tell you, if you practice Islam as a threat in the Quran, these people can do nothing against us. I believe what Allah said in the Quran. Remember who? Remember Allah. Wallahu khairu al-mahirin. They plan and they plot, and Allah plans and a plot, and Allah is the best of planners. No matter what they do, they try to kill Jesus. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away their plans. They tried to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and brothers and sisters, they're trying to stop the movement of Islam. And little do the American people realize that their own salvation rests in what these Muslims do, though they don't realize it today, but tomorrow they will realize it. And I hope, brothers and sisters, that we keep our eyes wide open and don't let them do what I believe they did to Malcolm X and what they did to Martin Luther King and maybe what they did to John F. Kennedy.
Allah
is praying
to the nation of Islam.
You want truth? Let me be honest with you. Sometimes we're not 100% honest. Malcolm didn't leave the nation of Islam because he wanted to. He was kicked out. He was hurt. There we believe there were some forces working within the nation of Islam trying to stop Malcolm from rising to such things. And so maybe some people of the family of Elijah Muhammad tried to separate Malcolm from his leader. It's true, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated, it's true, Elijah Muhammad sent a directive to all of his ministers, don't make any statements against John F. Kennedy. Why? Because he said the nation right now is in mourning, and these people love John F. Kennedy, and I don't want to any of my ministers to make any negative statements. Malcolm had a big meeting at the, what's the name of that hotel in New York? So, he speaks of fire, but in the question and answer series, question from a journalist, Leo Times, Malcolm, got the guy's name, what do you think,
huh? It was Hamler.
Hamler, it was Hamler, yeah. What do you think about the assassination of John F. Kennedy? And Malcolm, his blood was on the boil. All of these black people being murdered, and you ask me about the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and he starts getting. You don't ask about black men getting murdered and black men getting lynched, but you ask me about the assassination of John F. Kennedy. Why the assassination of John F. Kennedy is the chicken thrown over the roof. Front page, Times, all over. Like your aunt called Malcolm. Malcolm? So he challenged Malcolm. He couldn't give lectures in his own temple on 116th Street, which is now called Malcolm Sebastian. And so, after Malcolm submitted to his leader, and then word came to Malcolm, how come you're not submitted? And Malcolm realized that there were some forces on the inside trying to push him out. Brothers and sisters, Malcolm didn't leave the nation of Islam originally because of an ideological break or difference with an ideological. Believe me, after he left the nation of Islam, if Elijah Muhammad had welcomed him back, he would come flying. He said with his own words, when he first broke away, he said, I still believe in the honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's what he said. And I think I can best help him on the outside. That was his original statement, and you have to be honest with yourself. But it wasn't until after that, when he broke away, not through his own choice, but because he was forced out, and then he began to travel, and then he made time, and then he saw what he saw, and then he began to understand Islam, and Allah blessed him to understand Islam, and he took Shahada and became a Muslim, a real Muslim. So that was the break of Elijah Muhammad. In regards to one of the statements that Prophet Muhammad made from Rabban, to me, one of the most eloquent statements, he said, "Inna ana bashar, I am only human." Malcolm was great, but Malcolm was a human being. The same thing that tribe people tried to know. Elijah Muhammad was a human being. His student Malcolm had become more popular than the people. Human justice. if you really believe in practice Islam, you can control those who suffer in dreams.
But it happened. It's enough for one on and develop his own organization, as the brother said. But again, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that the initial breakup of Malcolm from the Nation of Islam had nothing to do with it. It's ideologically different.